This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Today, we see labels all around us. There are labels on all kinds of foods, everything from breads to soups, different types of snacks and drinks. Yes, labels are in full use throughout today's world. And it's not uncommon for us to label people upon meeting them. People watching is a common practice among many of us, and labeling others comes rather naturally for some of us. However, labeling people can be wrong if we allow ourselves to be condescending, disparaging, damaging, or hurtful to the people we label. Yes, labeling can be a bad thing if it prevents us from giving a fair chance to consider someone or something. Stay with us as we explore the intricacies of labeling on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Tony Bukert.
Well, hello there, friends, and welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. And I'll just tell you a little bit about what I've been up to lately. I've been just kind of sitting around as I'm watching TV or as I'm out and about in my daily routine, and I'm just kind of watching and observing. I've been keenly aware of the fact that, you know, we like to use a lot of labels in our society, from the food that we buy to the people that we pass by daily on the streets. We have a label for everything and everyone. Whether it's good or not, we have labels for it. Rightfully so or not, we still label it. Now, on the positive side of things, in one regard, or a couple different regards, I'm happy that we do have labels. Now, for instance, and some of you may be able to associate with this, as I'm working around the house, whether I'm cleaning something up or whether I'm out in my garage working on my old car, working with a lot of parts, changing oil, all these different chemicals, or whether I'm out in my yard pulling weeds, spraying the lawn with fertilizer, whatever I'm doing, you know, I want to be aware of what I'm using. I want to be aware of how to use it, and I want to be warned about any dangers or hazards associated with that chemical, because I don't want to get hurt or sick from using something. So in that regard, a label is good. Now, even in our grocery stores, if you pay attention, you know, we have laws in our country, federal laws designed to keep us safe by labeling our food. We just have to be hopeful and faithful that they're being truthful with us in that aspect. You know, it tells us the calorie content. It tells us what kind of artificial sweeteners might be in the product. You know, I don't want to put that stuff in my body. There's been a lot of studies done on what the hazards are with those chemicals and artificial sweeteners, artificial colorings. They're hazardous to us. So I want to know about that. And then you got to talk about this contemporary topic with our food in the stores, of this genetically modified food and the dangers that are associated with that. I want that label because I don't know whether I'm eating a salmon or whether I'm not. I'm eating some genetically modified frankenfish that may not be good for me to eat. I mean, the things that we come up with today and the products that we have, I'll tell you what, I mean, some of them are good, but a lot of them deserve the labels with the warnings on them. I'll tell you what, I want to know exactly what I'm getting involved with and what I'm putting into my body, because we want to stay safe as we live in this life, and we don't want to make things hard on ourselves and make ourselves sick from it. But, you know, sadly enough, it's no different with people. We tend to look at people from our perspective. We tend to compare people and compare them to who and what we are and what we believe, how we look. And if we see somebody sometimes that look a little bit different, they believe a little bit different, you know what? We like to label them. We really do. And in that regard, it really is a shame that we do that to people, because there's a lot of people out there that don't deserve the labels that we place upon them. A lot of the labels that are put onto people nowadays are what, you know, let's just call a duck a duck. I mean, it's derogatory. It's pejorative. Now, by pejorative, what I mean is it could be slanderous. It could be defamatory. And when you use a pejorative, you know, a pejorative has to have no truth associated to it whatsoever. It's just how you feel or how you see things. And it really can be damaging to somebody. Now, I want to turn to a secular example before I get into the religious aspects and show you by comparison and contrast how this works. But before I do, you know that on the Armor of God, we do like to offer you some free literature and CDs for you, completely free of charge. And these items that we want to make available to you, you can simply call into our phones, or you can go to our website and place your order there. But the items I want to make available to you today are, number one, please take advantage of the CD that we're going to offer you today. It's entitled Cult, a Pejorative Label. And it's going to be designed after and have a lot more information, though, about what I'm talking about today, this pejorative label and these labelings that we put on people, deserved and undeserved. And we're going to see exactly how that works, because out there in the world of Christianity, there are pejorative labels that are used on different ideologies within Christianity if they don't fall in line with Orthodox or mainstream Christianity. Undeserved. And you're going to see that as we go through the program today. But in addition to that, we have a brochure that's titled, Did the Apostolic Church Observe the Sabbath and the Holy Days? Because if we want to associate ourselves and assign ourselves with apostolic traditions, don't we want to know what the apostolics actually believed and what they followed? Because it does seem a little bit different nowadays if you really get into the heart of the issue, what the apostolic church, the early church, actually got into and what they actually believed and taught, just like Jesus did. You might be surprised to find out exactly what the true apostolic origins are of the doctrines of the Church of God. Now, back to what we are talking about. Before I went to the literature offer, I was talking about going to a secular example as our segue to show us exactly how it affects and impacts Christianity, because the tactics are the same. The strategies are, in fact, the same. But before I mention this secular example, I want to disarm you a little bit. I just want to put you at ease here. I'm not going to talk about politics per se. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, tell you should believe this candidate or that candidate or anything like the kind, or you should believe in this party or that party. I'm not going to do anything like that. I just simply want to show you how the pejorative works, and I can find no greater example than what we've just went through in our country. Now, we just went through an election, which the 45th president of the United States was elected into office. But everything that happened up to that point, during the candidacy and all the different rallies and all the debates and everything that happened, you saw the worst example, and we're still seeing the effects of that, because it still goes on, of some pejorative labels that people have used against people who voted for our current president. Again, I'm not pitting sides against each other, but this is the truth, and this is what's happened. So I don't mind bringing it to you and telling you and showing you how the pejorative works by this current event that we've just gone through. Now, what is being said out there? I need to bring your attention to a magazine. I don't read this particular magazine. I don't think I've ever purchased a magazine called Gentleman's Quarterly or GQ Magazine. And it's important that we mention that, because there was an article that was printed, and it's going to come into more relevance as I tell you and show you the pejoratives that have been said first against people that have voted for the 45th President of the United States. Here's what they say, and this is a pejorative, because anytime that you use the word always, never, and you assign labels to everybody, you're leaving out any kind of exceptions that might exist, and it's wrong to do, okay? Here's what is being said out there in the pejorative sense. If you voted for Donald Trump, you're racist. If you voted for Donald Trump, you're a bigot. you're a homophobe, you're an Islamophobe, all these different labels that have been associated with all these people that have voted for the 45th President of the United States. Now, do you suppose that label's earned? You know, I'll let you answer that question yourself. I'm not going to get into politics today, but getting back to the article, I wanted to get to the pejoratives first. In Gentleman's Quarterly Magazine, this author that wrote this article on Donald Trump and his campaign and his followers, you know, he happens to be one of the alleged modern-day cult experts in the United States of America. Yeah, he's coined a new phrase. He's come up with a new cult. He calls it Trumpism. So here we go. Here we go with a pejorative label. If you can label something and identify it as hazardous, as dangerous, and put and associate the word cult next to it, then guess what you've just done? You have just pejoratively done everything that you can to label a group of people in order to destroy, to defame, to slander, and to ruin and discredit whatever they believe in. That's what people tend to do. They have these strategies. You know, it's just like if you had a bunch of garbage in your hand. This is the analogy I always like to use. If I'm holding a bunch of garbage in my hand, I'm not, but if I were, here's the analogy. If you just take this garbage that's in your hand and you throw it against the wall, you know, most of that garbage will fall to the ground and come to nothing. But something will stick, and it will become, whether rightfully true or not, a perception that people have. Again, perception isn't always truth, but the fact of the matter is, perception is what people believe in sometimes. So it's what they see, it's what they've heard, it's what they believed in. And nowadays, when we live in our country, can you believe at this time we're dealing with fake news? Fake news. Friends, if you get your news from social media, like Facebook and other things, you really got to reconsider what you're listening to, because it is fake news and oftentimes slanderous. But I digress. You know, you would hope and you would think that Christianity would be a lot different as far as labeling people. But what I have here, reach back here. I got a book I want to show you and share with you. I have a book here. It's a reference source that I use oftentimes when I'm talking about things like this. And it's entitled Dictionary of Cults. Sex, S-E-C-T-S, Religions and the Occult. Now, what this gentleman does is he has set himself up as a self-proclaimed leading expert in cults in the world. And there's literally hundreds of them in this book. I mean, almost any group that is considered a cult, you can find in this group and do a lot of research. And really what it comes down to, now a lot of people in this book have deserved the definition of cult associated with it. But you know, what it really comes down to, let's talk about the definition of cult for a minute. Let's really see what we're talking about here. You know, way back when, let's just talk about a couple decades ago, it wasn't unheard of that the term cult had a benign meaning to it. I mean, there was nothing harmful about it in its proper use, in the non-pejorative use of the word cult. You know what a cult really means? It simply means this. Any small group of people who have a set of ideologies, a common goal, maybe even a leader of that group, is a cult. So by definition, in the non-pejorative and in a benign sense, you can consider any church in America or in the world a cult based on its sociological function that it has there. But it doesn't stop there. If you belong to a football team, or you belong to a quilting group, or maybe you have a book club that you belong to, by the rightful definition in the non-pejorative or the non-slanderous way, it just simply means that you belong to a group. That's all it means. So there's nothing defamatory about that. It is the rightful, useful purpose for that term. Now, when I use the word cult or the term cult, what comes to your mind? And I got to thank Hollywood for this, because Hollywood is highly influenced. In my mind, some of the things that I think of or the images that come to the frontlets of my mind when I think of the term cult. Now, perhaps what you're thinking, what I am right now, when I think of cult, here's what I think of. I think about this group of people. You know, maybe there's a bonfire in the middle. Maybe they're encircling it there's a leader, this robed figure in the middle, holding a candle, this big bonfire, and they're all standing there in unison, you know, they're humming. You know, and perhaps there's a sacrificial table there, and that's what we think of when we think of the term cult, because that's the Hollywood version. But let me tell you what Orthodox Christianity or mainstream Christianity considers a cult. And let's just boil it down to this. Anybody that doesn't believe like we do, that's pretty much what it means. If you don't believe like us, if you don't believe in the Trinity, if you don't believe in the observance of Sunday, Easter, Christmas, and all these things, they consider you cultic. And therefore, you've gained yourself a place in their books and in their articles and such things. But, you know, sometimes in Christianity, friends, you know, we don't do ourselves any favors because we have a natural proclivity and tendency to place importance upon a man, right, as our leader. And in the early church in Corinth, you know, it was no different. You know, we tend to associate with certain personalities and charismatic people, and we tend to look at them as our leader. And Paul was dealing with this in the book of Corinthians, the first book, in chapter 3, just a few short verses here. This is what he says. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' another says, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Question: who's your leader? Who is the central figure that you look to and identify with as your leader, who sets the standards of your belief systems, ideologies, and your practices? Well, in the early church here, we had some people deviating from something. Where's Christ? Where's Jesus at? Yeah, of course we respect our pastors and our ministers, and we want to have a great relationship with them. But, you know, as a pastor of the Columbus, Ohio congregation, I tell my congregation all the time, I'm not your leader. I'm just someone forming or filling a function that needs to be done. Your leader is Jesus the Christ. He is the one whom our foundations are firmly rooted in. He's the one who has rightfully earned our respect as our leader. And oftentimes we get off of this perspective and we place too much of importance on the messenger and not the message. And that's what a lot of cults do. Now, there are a lot of bad examples out there in the world that have earned the term cult. And I've got a few of them written down here, and maybe you remember some of these. Back in 1968, here's the danger of following a man or putting too much importance on a leader, because sometimes it gets to their head and they start to get a little bit controlling. They start to manipulate, maybe pull you away from your family, start taking your money, move you away and isolate you. Some of you might remember the horrific story of Charles Manson and the Manson family, and how he manipulated people, and how he began to tell people that he was hearing messages from God from a Beatles song called Helter Skelter that resulted in the murder of Sharon Tate and some of her friends. What a horrendous event. Is the label earned? Cult? You bet. Oftentimes he used the scriptures to manipulate people. Back in 1993, some of you, just bringing it back up to modern history, might remember this event. Back in Waco, Texas, 1993, a man by the name of David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. And finally, the FBI had to raid the house. You remember the house was raided by those agents. There was a big gunfire, gunshots that were exchanged that eventually resulted in the compound being burnt down. And people lost their lives over this. And this man took such a position in his congregation, you know, he actually started telling them that he was the Messiah. And the sad part is people actually began to believe it. So the term cult is earned in that regard. It's earned. And, you know, I would like to sit here and tell you that the Church of God, specifically the Church of God International, is immune to such pejorative labels. But there has been something associated and assigned to us that just, you know, just isn't true. You know, a lot of people will say that we're a cult because we believe in this thing called Armstrongism. Now, Herbert W. Armstrong was a great teacher in the worldwide Church of God. He did a lot of good. He did a lot of advertisements to God's truth. And he really, what he did was nothing new. What he did was he brought attention to the fact that the early apostolic church didn't keep Christmas and Easter and Halloween or the Sunday Sabbath. They kept Saturday Sabbath and God's holy days. But because people don't want to have their viewpoint sometimes challenged, what they'll do is they'll say, well, he was a cult leader or whatever, and the Church of God International is a cult because we don't believe in Orthodox Christianity. Well, you know, back in 325 A.D., there was a lot of changes that came to the church. And the early church, the apostolic church, in the beginning, they didn't keep Christmas and Easter and Halloween. They didn't keep Sunday. They kept the Passover on the 14th like the Jews did. They were called Quattro Decimans. They kept the Sabbath day. They did everything that Jesus Christ did. As a matter of fact, the whole reason for the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D., was to address a man by the name of Dr. Arius and his teachings, who kept the Sabbath day, who kept the Passover, who kept all the holy days as listed in Leviticus chapter 23. And a council was convened so that they could deal with this man and stamp out the truth that he taught, just like the apostles did. And boy, did they sure ever do that. They burned his works. They exiled him. But you see, Orthodox Christianity, they changed. They don't teach what the early apostolic church taught as far as what we should be doing. So what do? When you're a little bit different, they perceive you as different. They label you pejoratively. Herbert W. Armstrong didn't teach anything new. You know, in this book that I have here beside me, it's called A History of True Religion through the 100 years from 33 A.D. to date, and I think this is the second edition. This was completed roughly 1968. Not only do we have a record of what the early apostles, the apostolic church, taught by the decades and all those things, but we also have the names that go all the way back to Jesus Christ and what he taught. Herbert didn't teach anything new. He taught what Jesus Christ taught. It wasn't a new church movement. So when you think about this term cult, I'll tell you what, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that people can spin the word cult, but really, again, any group that associates with other people in a small manner, that might have a central leader, that might have a common goal, a common set of values, philosophies, ideologies, in a non-pejorative sense, in the truthful sense, even when it comes to churches, you know, you can label anybody a cult. Now, a football team can be called a cult. You know, my Pittsburgh Steelers, they have a common goal. They're playing in the playoffs. They're hoping to get to the Super Bowl. They have team captains. They have a coach. They have a leader. So by definition, they're a cult. You know, one of the ways in which you can identify a church cult is really by its leadership structure. And the danger in following a man is when you have one man at its head, at the head of that organization, and they get too egotistical about it, and people start to inflate their egos. They start to take control. They start to change doctrines on their own. They start telling people to get away from their families. They do all these different things underneath their own name, oftentimes proclaiming and succumbing to a messianic complex and really playing games with people and really just wreaking havoc in people's lives. And we've seen some of those bad examples. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you today that from the perspective of the Church of God International, we believe that we do teach just like the Apostolic Church did. And we do have that literature and that CD that we can make available to you that will prove that. But it doesn't matter really what people say about you. And we say words don't hurt, but sometimes they really do hurt us. But anybody can say anything about anybody they want to. It doesn't make it true. So as I close out today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn this over to my colleague. So stay with us for some closing remarks.
Well, that was quite a program that Tony gave us today. As a matter of fact, he made it very clear, I think, to all of us that we do indeed live in a day and age of labels. And sadly, even Christianity has labels. That's right, we have lots of denominations, do we not? And many of them are labeled. And frankly, if in fact some of those denominations don't meet certain standards that are considered to be traditional or considered to be the status quo, well then, guess what? They're generally labeled pejorative. People look at them suspiciously. They disparage them. They view it with a jaundiced eye, wondering whether or not it perhaps is a cult of some sort. And the question is that really fair? I mean, is it a fact that Christian denominational standards and traditions are the measuring stick for what is true or what is to be used to define Christianity? Of course not. You know that as well as I do. Instead, it's the Bible, my friends. The Bible is the item that we should be using to define what Christianity really is. And interestingly enough, if you take the time to investigate using your Bible, you will find more times than not that what is in your Bible claiming to be the original apostolic teachings do not meet or match up with, generally speaking, the traditional definitions of what is considered to be the Christian status quo. Won't you let us help you to better understand this and identify these things? Dial now 888-578-8791. Ask the operator for the free offers that Tony had presented and which I will provide as well. Did the Apostolic Church observe the Sabbath and Holy Days? And a one-hour presentation given by Tony himself titled Cult, a Pejorative Label? Truly, we need to consider the Bible rather than the Christian denominational traditions and standards that so often we use to define Christianity. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you all the time, as we often do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.